Breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365, because they get $150 in bonus bets when they bet $5, win or lose. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. And see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. T&Cs apply.
If you work in quality control at a candy factory, you know strict safety regulations come with the job. It's why you partner with Grainger. Grainger helps you find the high-quality and compliant products your business needs to inspect, detect, and help correct issues. And the sweetest part is, everyone gets a product that's as safe to eat as it is delicious. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
If you're a wrestling fan and you're frustrated with all the services you need to watch all the different wrestling shows, Fightful has your solution with NordVPN.com/Fightful. Change your virtual location with just one click, and you'll be able to watch Raw, SmackDown, NXT, and PLEs on one Netflix account. You'll also be able to get a lot of pay-per-views at a much more affordable price than you do here in the United States. This is a must-have for wrestling fans. That way you don't have to have seven different accounts to watch all of the shows that you want to watch. In addition to that, they have a great 30-day money-back guarantee and an incredible deal right now going on. But that's far from it. You can protect yourself on their VPN service, the fastest in the world, shield your data from snoops and criminals, protect yourselves on public Wi-Fi, and it's available on all your devices and operating systems. NordVPN.com/Fightful.
NordVPN!
Mailman! Oh, wait, sorry.
Wrong ad, but NordVPN is the reason we're allowed to be live at 8:10 today. Very excited about that. We had another show in Europe that we're going to talk about. Not the best episode of SmackDown. Very long. Lots to talk about, though. Still, we have this Drew, Seth, and Punk story that I think is going to get really good. Tonight wasn't my favorite segment for it. We're going to get into why, but exciting stuff towards WrestleMania. It's starting to feel like the fact that that might be a WrestleMania main event might be a part of the story here. There's plenty to talk about. Also, our women's picture heating up a little bit. So we're going to get into all of this and more. But get in your super chats. No humper chats at the moment. I got to get access once again. But please do send in your super chats and leave a thumbs up on this video as well. We do appreciate it. It helps boost people in the algorithms. We got a super early show, says Vin Twinblade. Yes, we do. Yes, we do. So please show out with the support if you are watching live. I'm excited to super chats are available, not humper chats. If I said that wrong, I apologize. But we're going to dive in shortly here. But we'll also remind you of a couple of other things. One, you're going to want to subscribe to this YouTube channel right now. With these shows in Europe, so you're going to want reminders about when we're actually going live for things. And it's also just a crazy time of year with all the wrestling that's on between more AEW pay-per-views. TNA has a special, like, every other week, it feels like. That is also on Fridays. We have WrestleMania season right here. So plenty going on. You're going to want notifications about that. We'll also remind you to subscribe to FightfulSelect.com, where I believe it was our Fightful Espanol account broke the news that Rey Fénix is officially signed to WWE. If you like accurate reporting, if you want to support great people working really, really hard, Fightful Select is the place to do it. Plenty going on there, especially during this time of year. You're going to hear more about WrestleMania scoops. You're going to hear more about what's going on at AEW. The news that Athena and Mercedes might happen as soon as Dynasty also happened. But yeah, we've got a lot to talk about. But Alex, he's here with me. We're rocking and rolling earlier than usual. We're going to see how this goes. We'll see how this time slot treats us. We might pop back to later in the night. But how are you today? And how much do you love NordVPN for letting us watch early?
Oh, I love NordVPN, bruv. I've been watching everything.
My God, Alex.
It turned me in. Yeah, I mean, it turned me into a
Asprexis Cardoza is here.
That's how well NordVPN works, it changed my accent as soon as I clicked.
Overseas. Like, I'm watching from London. I am now British.
happy to be here, friends, on a early evening edition of the Friday night post show. And good afternoon to our friends in the West Coast. It's only 5 p.m. there. If you're coming to us right now eating your din din, hello and welcome. And as always, I ask you, friends, to please support our clabbiness here and our bangs. And our bangs.
They haven't been straightened today. It's a whole mess.
It's okay. They got a mind of their own. By simply hitting that thumbs up on the counter here, I want to see, but before the show's over, maybe 100, 150 likes. We're going to get up there today. I think we are. Help us out, friends. Right. Help us out.
Well, let's dive into some SmackDown. Get those super chats in. Leave a thumbs up. We are going to talk about the show, which, got to be honest, I am getting a little sick of this playbook. I say this all the time. I said it a lot at the end of last year that we kind of turned the corner. Now here we are back to the same stale playbooks again. This was true for a part of last year, the end of last year in AEW. It's still true in the world title picture there. Here it's like, can I get a SmackDown without a DQ finish and a pull apart brawl? It feels like challenge level impossible, as the kids say, right? So I'm a little bit tapped out on that. But I gotta say, night two of WrestleMania gonna be Cody and Cena, right? We know that. Night one, I would love for it to be the women, but we got sign pointing today, Alex. We got WrestleMania sign pointing from Roman Reigns, Seth Rollins, and CM Punk. I feel like with their marquee talent on the men's side, they've got a pretty good idea of how things are shaking out into WrestleMania here. We had a pull apart brawl between CM Punk and Seth Rollins a couple weeks ago. It was one of the better done ones. It was well done, certainly better than the one that we had a few days earlier between Tiffany Stratton and Charlotte. But here we are again with another pull apart brawl between the same two guys plus Roman Reigns. I feel like these ones are warranted because they've done a nice job of communicating the animosity, but like, my kingdom for any other play. I understand you want to protect talent going into WrestleMania season. You don't want them getting injured, especially Punk has been injury prone, but like, can we do anything else? But let's talk about that segment. But before we do, what did you kind of like think just overall of tonight's SmackDown? I felt like it kind of dragged today.
It was very, very slowly paced. I mean, I don't want to say super slow pace. It just felt like things were spread out far apart. I don't know if maybe because they're treating these shows more of just like overseas house shows with TV in them, right? The crowds are going to be hot regardless. Like you could put the weakest match in front of them and they're all going to be crazy on television, right? Because it's they don't get this out there as much as they would like to. So, but I mean, the Street Profits were fun to watch tonight, and we'll get to that a little later. But other than that, yeah, I mean, I'm with you with the pull-apart stuff. I would like to see a little more depth with these characters. They're so damn good, too, man. If you have someone like a Seth Rollins and a CM Punk and a Roman involved together, this should be cinematic. This should be like with that Rock and Cody confrontation. Not Rock and Cody, that confrontation between Cody and Roman in the middle of the Georgia field. It should be that level, but you know, we're getting pull aparts and sign pointing.
We still have a month to go. And this is kind of, I think, just coming together after that great steel cage match, but I do agree with you. But let's talk about that main event segment first, before we do. Van Twinblade spending in some money for the Bangs and Clav connection, saying Billy Starks is greater than Charlotte. Whoa. I'm assuming that's who Chaz was referring to. Charlotte is great. Her in-ring is fantastic.
Yeah.
Billy Starks, I am so happy for the TV match she had, because I felt like her and Mercedes really tore it down. And because she's been working so much on Ring of Honor television, streaming, whatever, not a lot of people in AEW, unless they were following the indies pretty closely, have gotten a chance to see what that young lady can do. And she did great. She did great. I think it was one of Mercedes' better TV matches. I'm so thrilled that she got put in this really big spot and she got to shine. And I love what we're getting out of this, uh, this Mercedes feud, and we'll talk about what we're getting out of this women's feud, because that segment did not have the chemistry that I think they were hoping for. But let's start at the end with Roman Reigns, who is with Paul Heyman, and he comes to the ring for his promo, and he says that CM Punk screwed him at Royal Rumble, so he screwed him at the Garden. Simple as that. And similarly, Reigns says that Punk's tried to kill him in the Rumble, so he tried to kill him back. Or I'm sorry, Rollins tried to kill him in the Rumble, so he tried to kill him back, which I appreciated. With Rollins interrupting and some good stuff in here. And he says that Reigns doesn't understand how dangerous CM Punk can be, and he should have let him finish him there. Like, he should have let that be the end, which I like, because Seth Rollins should hate him so much that he wants to be the one to put him out of his misery, in a sense. But Punk appears, and I love this with Reigns. He was like, I don't know if you remember, because you haven't been in a Royal Rumble in a long time, but actually, it's every man for himself. So I really, really liked that. And he also points out that Reigns and Rollins haven't been able to beat him without the help of the other, which I thought was really, really, really clever. And he also points out that Roman Reigns wouldn't have even made it to Rumble if it weren't for him helping out him and his stupid family, which I thought was great. And we get, surprise, surprise, a pull-apart brawl. But he does remind us that Paul Heyman has this favor. Holy crap, cash in on the favor. I'm getting so tired of it. Like, let's get to that favor. But I like everything that was said here. I thought everybody got their shots in. I felt like Punk really kind of got to point out some very logical things, right? Like, I like that he was like, it's a Rumble match. It's everyone for themselves. Also, you guys can't beat me without the other's help. And we're obviously headed towards this triple threat. Really, really strong stuff from Punk. This feels much better than the babyface. Boy, it's great to be here and wherever stuff we were getting from him before. I like my CM Punk with some teeth on him. What did you think? I know we're tired of the pull apart, but what did you think about what was said here, the content of what we got?
Yeah, it's good. It's starting to all come together. It's starting to make sense. Why are we building this fight? And you have three guys who pretty much really like have history and dislike each other, who've said a lot of things. So you can pull into any single like direction that you want with either or, right? It's not just one direction where you're going to pick up Punk and say, hey, Punk is trying to cash in, right, on his favor or whatnot, right? And kind of just like leaving Seth on the outside. Like, that wouldn't make sense, because why would Seth want to be involved? No, all three of them have drama. And you want to, you know, that's the meat and potatoes, if Meat Normus is in here. And potatoes for you, vegetarian, right? I'm taking care of everyone tonight. I enjoyed it. I really think that if they pull this off, they're all great competitors, and they're all great verbally as well. Even Roman, who doesn't speak much, he'll just say one or two words. But I think that they would steal the show, man. I honestly, like, I'm more excited about them than I am about anything else on the card right now.
Okay, that's fair. That's fair. I think the three of them do perform at such a high level, and they do talk so well that I fully understand where you're at with that. I need to see more of the Cena Cody story. I think it could go somewhere with a little more substance, and I think it's off to a good start. I think Cena's promo, I felt, was a little bit underwhelming because it was a you people promo, but I also feel like nobody earned a you people promo more than John Cena in this world.
It's been coming
in this world. I need more, though. I need clarification on his relationship with The Rock, and I need him zoned in on winning 17 and breaking Ric Flair's record and all that kind of stuff. So I'm with you right now. This is certainly one of the more salivating ones. And I feel like this probably does main event, partly because they haven't done a great job building out any of the women's stuff, unfortunately. Like, I'm very excited for the in-ring we're going to get with a Rhea Ripley, Bianca Belair, Io Sky triple threat. Are you kidding? But they can't seem to pick a direction for this. What I mean by that is we had Rhea Ripley giving this social media exclusive that was like so wonderful and vulnerable and great. And I felt like it was such an interesting direction to head in, because she had all this self-doubt about why she let herself get caught up in this situation, mm-hmm. and how Io always can one-up her. This is the third time she's lost to her. And then on Monday, they have her come out and be this whiny, like, I'm signing the contract, even though my name's not on it. Like, that's not who Rhea Ripley is. That's not the way that she loses in how I interpret how she's been presented so far. Let's talk some Charlotte and Tiffany, though, because we did get that on the show tonight. And it just, it's not like either of them said anything wrong. It felt like the chemistry within each other just didn't click in, because what the content of it was all right, but the delivery was a little all over the place. You have basically Charlotte Flair saying that Tiffany is just a flash in the pan. You have her cutting her off at one point by saying she would be lucky to have a job this far into her career, much less this time next year. And Tiffany Stratton says that all she does is throw water on the whatever the hottest thing in WWE is. And Charlotte says, you're not even the hottest thing on SmackDown, never mind the whole company. And Tiffany gets in a couple of jabs about how Charlotte handles the fans because the fans have turned on her or whatever. And she says that the fans are tired of Flair and that they now run on Tiffy time. Perfectly cromulent, as they say. I just don't, the chemistry wasn't there. Like, this didn't feel like an actual conversation. So that was a little tricky, but also I don't feel like there's been any advancement of what has existed between the two of them. Basically since Charlotte's first conversation with Tiffany, we had her saying, oh my God, there was this huge void in the division for like a day. And we like haven't really gotten out of it. And then Charlotte, I'm the top woman, which fine. But like, okay, then what? There's been no evolution of that. It's just been Charlotte attacking Tiffany after matches and whatever. So this is another one where like, just like Rhea, Bianca and Io, I'm so excited for what the in-ring is going to bring us on that. I think this match is going to be awesome because Charlotte actually works with really acrobatic in-ring workers extremely well from what I can remember. Her match with Naomi was one of Naomi's best matches, one of the best women's TV matches you'll ever see. So I'm excited about the in-ring, but it just feels like they're not giving the women anything to sink their teeth into on the way there, especially with this story. The triple threat at least has some intrigue around it. I just don't really like how it's being executed. What is the next segment of the story you're telling? What's the next chapter in this? Because to me, it just feels kind of like it's waffling there for a bit.
Yeah, you know, watching this and then having the split screen situation going on, I understand why they would do it like that, because you know they don't want to have too much physicality between them. They want to sell this, you know, battle to where it's going. But at the same token, that's what Charlotte does best. Charlotte could talk, but Charlotte knows how to fight. And Charlotte could get deep into people's skin. And you want that. You want Charlotte to be up in your face when she's telling you something, because it means more. And the crowd gets behind it. And it just feels like there's a spark there when she's doing it. So when you're watching this on television, it just feels like another, you know, back and forth, you know, situation where they're just talking and making fun of each other or whatever the case may be, right? Just like calling each other out for different things. I think that when it comes to Charlotte's stature, Charlotte's her demeanor and her attitude really show off in the ring face to face. You don't have to fight each other. You don't do what everyone else is doing. Put a little stipulation where you can't touch each other, right?
Sure.
But get in her head in front of her, frustrate her. Right. Because right now, like you said, we're waiting for it to go to the next gear and it hasn't really progressed much. No. So, yeah,
I did really like where Charlotte said, like, you won the title on a cash in. Really? Like, sure. Was that really an earned victory? She's really good with that stuff.
Yeah.
I like it. But let's just hope that they give these ladies a little bit more creative with some substance, a little more meat on the bone. But guys, we're moving along here. We've got almost 2,000 of you watching in our not our usual time slot. We'll see how this rocks and rolls throughout the evening, but feel free to get in those super chats. Lots going on FightfulSelect.com. This is a wonky wrestling weekend too, because Collision is having 2 1-hour episodes on Saturday and one on Sunday to circumvent kind of what's going on with the NCAAs. Those are expected to start at 11 o'clock each. Ooh. We're not going to have a Collision post show. Probably there's a slight chance if you guys want it, I'll jump on Sunday, cause I'm going to be live tweeting it from the Fightful account anyway. So if I'm going to be up, maybe I'll jump on, but let me know if that's something you guys would be interested in. I'll maybe do a solo show. That'll be short, just recapping both of them, but not your typical Collision weekend. Collision is doing a much better job, I feel like, of building out more substantive cards. So let's hope it trends in that direction. But this has been a funny scheduling week for wrestling across the board. WWE's in Europe. Collision is split into two across 2 days at 11 p.m. We've got a lot going on in the wrestling world. All the more reason to subscribe, because our content is jumping around time-wise as well. But let's throw it back to the beginning of the show, where we have Randy Orton appearing in the ring. Continually, and honestly, if you feel like the creative has been a little lazy, which I do, part of it is because they just don't need it. These crowds are insane. So I feel like all the work they normally do to win over live crowds, they're like, we don't really have to put in that effort. These live crowds are nuts just to be able to see the product that goes for the end that I was just telling you about. The OTC chants were insane up through right to the beginning, right with Randy Orton. The Voices tribute is always so much fun. We saw it in Australia with Cope too. Like I love when people just are, we're just seeing the theme. That's what we're doing. But Randy Orton comes into the ring for his promo. It is interrupted by Kevin Owens, who apologizes to Randy Orton and says, let's form a tag team and go after those WWE tag titles. And Randy Orton says, oh my God, thank you so much. That's so sweet of you. But instead, why don't I kick your head in with my punt? Because... No, screw you. You tried to break my neck. You're not weaseling your way out of this. One thing I really appreciated about this story is it's not evolving around a title shot that you won. Like, it's not Royal Rumble. It's not Elimination Chambers. Nothing like, nobody won a tournament for this. This is just guys that hate each other, and then Kevin Owens realizes that Randy Orton's really dangerous, so he tries to renege. I like that everything that Kevin Owens has done, as much as I want him to hold a title, and like his feud with Cody was for the title, he has built out so much character and so much story aside from the title that it feels completely different than everything else on the card. It feels completely different than the triple threat between Roman and Rollins, because it had to do with the ending of the cage match, which had to do with the ending of Rumble, which had to do with the Survivor Series situation where CM Punk stepped in to help the family. Like, I love that Kevin Owens is just like, I hate that guy and I'm going to fight him. Like, it's really, really refreshing to me. And I love that Randy Orton's, this is like some of the best work he's done as a face. I feel like he's genuinely excited about it. He's organically over with the crowd. He is not playing heel because John Cena's a face, which was what so much of his career was. It was like, you have to be the top guy on the other side of the coin because we're riding the John Cena wave. Like, this is really, really fun to get from Randy Orton. And I love that he's not an idiot. He's still Randy Orton. He's still the Viper. He's still a badass. He's still going to kick Kevin Owens' head in. He's going to do all these things that we've known, like, we've grown to love about him as a heel, but in this face presentation. So I really, really like this version of Randy Orton. This is a match I'm more excited about than I thought I was going to be because of the performers in it. Kevin Owens is just the best. What did you think of this opening segment? And then we'll talk about some damn matches soon enough.
Yeah, strong way to open up. You know, especially with the crowds as hot as they are, you kind of feel like you want to give them something up front, right? And Randy Orton is the one right now that any arena that he enters, people are either singing along or just being part, you know, being part of the intro pretty much, basically. So the story itself with him and Kevin Owens, you know, what's cool about this is that it's been writing itself for the last couple months on its own. I don't feel like anything had to be added. I don't feel like anything had to be, you know, bring to it to the upper level, just because them two together and the spark, and I keep on saying that a lot, the spark that they have with each other and the way that they can bring that out. Randy thinking about punting and Kevin Owens just pissing everyone off along the way and just getting underneath your skin and being, you know, a brat about absolutely everything. And the fact that Randy Orton, as much as you just said he's doing the face thing, God, it just feels he's always on the edge. He's always on the edge. You know, you
he's
don't
never
know.
A baby face. No, you know what I mean?
No,
yeah,
you just never know. He has the voices are starting to talk again in his head. And we're getting behind that. We're getting behind that part of Randy, because the only reason we're not saying that he's heel for his tendencies is because he's facing a heel. That's what Kevin Owens is right now. But outside of that, that's heel tendencies. If you're listening to voices in your head and you want to punt someone 100 yards down a field, yeah, I don't think we should be cheering that, right? But in this case, it's fun, man. I don't think they need anything added on. I hope that there's no outside interference. I hope that no one decides to like, oh, my God, Kevin Owens is about to get punted and out comes someone to save him and lay on top. I don't want none of that, man. Just let it happen. Let it happen.
I am intrigued. I do love this story. You're right in that it felt like it's been writing itself, because there's just this organic aspect where Kevin Owens took him out with the package pile driver. He took everybody out with the package pile driver for a while. And so because that move got banned, Randy Orton is coming back with his move that got banned to try and finish Kevin Owens. Really, really, really good stuff. As far as it being a clean finish, I do feel like Sami Zayn is probably lurking in the wings. I don't know which side he's on. I'm assuming Randy Orton's, because if I'm WWE, I just admit that Sami Zayn is like the best babyface ever and sure, ride the wave. But I think maybe you get a triple threat at Backlash, but we'll see, because I don't know if Sami Zayn has anywhere else on this card. But Bad Robot saying, hello, favorite post show. Alex, I could use a new mug. Any ideas? This Mania build feels weird with booking and other stuff, we'll say. I'm behind on the show, but I bet there's a VPN I could have used. I'm so glad you asked. NordVPN with the code Fightful. We'll take care of you, man. We'll take care of you. Go for the multi-option deal. Save a bunch of money with the code Fightful. They're so great to us, and they really are like, that's how I watch all my WWE content on Netflix now. I am watching from Canada. Maybe that's why I'm such a big Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn fan. I'm straight up watching from Toronto, where Nord connects me to. But it's been so great, and it'll save you so much. Like, AEW hasn't moved over to Max for pay-per-views yet. Like, that's not something that happens. And they're going to be really deliberate, because you can't take that back. Like, once you go forward, you can't be like, JK, we're charging you for pay-per-views again. So they're going to be really careful and deliberate. It's going to take a while. So get NordVPN, save yourself a whole bunch of money. Watch all this stuff when it airs on your preferred platforms. You can watch on Triller Plus. You can watch all these places. Like, Nord has you covered. But thank you for the additional love, Bad Robot. We appreciate it so much. More of you are watching now than were at the beginning of the show by a decent margin. So please do leave a thumbs up on this video. Please do subscribe to FightfulSelect.com. Sean is working hard over there. There was a bunch of figure stuff that went up too. I think you get early access on one of our tiers to some figure haul stuff that Sean went through with Jimmy Van, with LJNs and custom this, and I don't know anything about that world. I know nothing about figures. I know I have a CM Punk Nexus figure, and I got my Eddie Kingston figure, And I have some Eddie Guerrero stuff that a friend gave to me for my birthday. But I'm certainly not a collector. Are you a figure guy? I know you have some stuff in the background there.
I have a lot of stuff. I mean, over here. I have all my X-Men 97 collection right up here. Wave 1 and 2, which is you can't find it anywhere. Anywhere. A box of those things are going for anywhere between $300 to $600, if not more. Individual figures go for $300, some of them. I have this whole left side, which you guys can't see, and right side. My right side is full. And I'll post a video on my Blue Sky if you guys want to see it. On my right-hand side, I have all half Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles and half Power Rangers. I'm a huge Power Ranger fan. I have like, you know those yellow bins that you kind of put stuff in, like Christmas stuff and whatnot?
Yeah.
That they sell at Costco. I have about 3 of those filled with Power Ranger figures in the garage. I got AEW, WWE figures. I have all the waves from AEW. I got Wave 1. I even got a Brandy Chase figure, which
goes
for like $300 now. So it's all there. I mean, I'm a nerd. I told you this. Nobody believes me. I am worthy of the love I should get for being
nerd.
Damn nerd that I am.
Let us know in the chat if you're a figure collector, if you follow the footsteps of a Matt Cardona or whatever. Because I'm intrigued by this world, but I don't.
And to answer Bad Robot, one of the goodest, baddest robots I've known, he's asking about where he can get them. You can go to onlyclavs.com and get your Cardoza's clavicle oil clav mug right in there. You guys can pour your whatever you want into your mugs, but that's what he's asking about. So there you go. A little shameless plug there for my clavs.
There you go. But what's the cost plus shipping?
Oh man.
It's 4 installments of $19.99.
I'll be completely honest with you. I tried putting it at and I'll post it. I'll take screenshots. I'm probably making like $2. I don't want to overcharge people. I want to charge them for the cost of the product and the cost of the people who are printing it, and that is it. Like, whatever. I don't care. I just want to see people have fun with this stuff.
Shirts, yeah.
Tumblr, mug, and I'm releasing one more shirt that will say only Clavs, because that's that's what the people want.
Hell yes, that is what the people want. And if Excalibur told us anything, it's that you've got to give the people what
you gotta give them what they want, and they want the Clav.
Guys, keep the cut love coming. We are working our way through this episode of SmackDown. I think the numbers are crawling up because people are like, oh, they're on right now.
Sure. So yeah. They're like, who are these? Why are they on?
We're going to keep it going. But you had mentioned that you were excited about the Street Profits, as am I. I'm a little concerned that the crowd is just going to turn them babyface, but that could just be Italy being really excited to see these guys. But even Montez Ford's mannerisms a little bit. All the vignettes, all the in-ring, everything about their presentation has clicked his heels. But I feel like Montez Ford might have just been really genuinely touched to have won these titles. Sure. And it was so like just it felt a little baby face-ish to me, but not in a bad way. Like, I don't think it's going to be like, oh, they've betrayed the characters. I think he was just genuinely very touched. Like, I think he was just very genuinely happy. But he and Montez Ford and Angelo Dawkins, excuse me, come to the ring. They talk about their title win. They're interrupted, thank God, by Legato, because Santos Escobar is too good to not be on TV. We've been asking for it forever. But they said they wanted a shot at the title, which of course brings out Pretty Deadly. And in fantastic news, Alex, we get the Pretty Deadly theme proper. We don't get like the jobber entrance for Pretty Deadly tonight. We get the proper Pretty Deadly theme. And they're interrupted. And they say Berto and Angel need to wait until after them. But Montez Ford says they could get loco with Los Garza. So we get the Street Profits then defeating Los Garza with the frog splash from Ford, which is insane, onto Berto. If you tell me that Montez Ford is the best frog splash of all time, I'm not going to argue with you. That is nuts. Nuts. So a good match, a really, really good match. Nice to see them in the ring. Nice to see them as champions. Very happy for them. My only criticism of it was like it felt a little baby face-ish, but yeah. I think that's just them being human beings. Nice to see Los Garza in the ring. I gotta find out what's going on with Santos Escobar, because it just feels very weird and intentional that he's not in the ring right now. But good stuff. I just gotta say, we have the same four dance partners in this tag division. It needs to be freshened up. Like, we gotta get more teams in the fold here, but not mad about what we got tonight. What did you think?
Yeah, listen, anytime I get to see Pretty Deadly on my television, I don't know, man. They're the entertainment part of entertainment in WWE. And rightfully so. I sometimes wish that they were more like of a nasty heelish faction, not faction, but like tag team, that were just like, so I can take them, not that I don't take them seriously, but like, so everyone could take them a little bit more seriously, and that they're Pretty Deadly. Get it? You see what I did there? But that's my only wish for them, because I don't want them to fall on the wayside like they did with like Fandango and what's his name, and Breeze, you know, where they were like, they were such a fun team, but when they were off screen, that was it. Nobody remembers them for anything else, right? I think that these two guys have such great in-ring ability and the performance that they put on there. That's with that. And listen, I was watching the match and I noticed that with the Street Profits, right, the crowd was extremely hot and behind them, and that's hard because the mentality there is to turn around immediately and pander and be like, yes, cheer for me, I'm strong. And even when they had Montez up on the corner, and they were going to like suplex him or something, do something with him, and he just landed on his feet, which is super meme worthy. That shot there is going to be like the new AJ Styles Undertaker meme, by the way. And he just kind of like looks back. Even then, the crowd's going nuts. They're saying yes and everything. You want to cheer for them.
Yeah.
You want to cheer for them. And it's so hard, especially with overseas crowds, because they don't have heels and faces. They just boo whoever they want, whenever they want to.
And they barely boo anybody. They're just not happy about it. They're just cheering everybody. Yeah, but
yeah. So
I think there's so many people that were genuinely rooting for the human beings of Montez Ford and Angelo Dawkins that in the beginning of this title reign, they're going to have some work to do.
Oh, yeah.
And also, Montez's, like, moveset, if you want to use nerdy video game talk, like, is just genuinely so impressive that it's hard not to just, you see that guy do a frog splash and of course you want to root for that guy. Of course.
No lie, man. We all call it moveset. Come on now, video game.
Everybody, because I don't know what, you could just call it a repertoire, I guess.
Let's call it by what it is. It's not being nerdy, everyone. It's called a moveset. That's what you do, you know?
Mark.
And if you have a problem with it, please email me at support@fivefold.com.
No, hold on. Don't you go info@fivefold.com
HR@fivefold.com, and make sure you tell our HR department, Miss Kate over here, that you hate the fact that I used the word.
People legit think I'm Fivefold HR. They're
are Fivefold HR.
So you get me a job.
If you get any emails because of me, I'm sorry. Like, why is this guy saying
I don't have access to that account?
Mark.
I just got my own Fightful email, but don't email it. Clown saying, I collect. Let us know what you collect.
Figures. We were talking about figures.
Yeah. Bat Robot says, though, that he collects clavicle mugs now.
That's
so
damn right. There's more collections. I'm going to release collections every like spring, summer, like every season.
There you go.
Go out then.
Pretty Deadly crop tops. It'll be great.
Oh, my God. I'll get so sued, but I'm doing it.
Are you like an LJN guy? Let us know. Let us know what you are. But Rafael Garcia bringing up this point, send the new music to the bin, though.
Yeah, that's right. Everyone, what did you think about that in the chat there? Tell us, because I know they got to be heelish. I mean, we just went through this with AJ a couple months ago.
Bring the swag like nobody. Like, I just feel like that works as a heel. I hate when they change themes just to change them, because I feel like that theme could work for the heel characters that they are.
Yeah, but everyone's bopping and having a good time. We don't want them to have a good time. We want them to be like, like Don Callis when you hear the You know you're ready to boo and say F Don Callis for 20 minutes straight, right? So
it's true. It is maybe too catchy of a theme, but
yeah, yeah. You wanna like hate the person.
They could not make a switch at the Dev Rebel post fast enough. I don't root for people to lose their jobs, but this is not working. So they need to figure out a way to make it work. Okay.
Breaking news. Kate says music producer should lose job over not
no, I feel like they should do a better job, but they don't seem to be doing that.
You've been watching since like 2009, 2010, correct?
What was that?
You've been watching since like the mid-2000s, yes. Right? 2009, 2010. So like even before that, like we knew, we established who the characters were by their heel music and babyface music, right? I feel like somewhere in between, we kind of stopped doing that. We just let them still come out with what they have and we just got to boo them, right? But back then, they would change the theme completely, you know?
Yeah, but I don't like that because, well, it depends on the turn, but like, just because you're a good guy or a bad guy doesn't mean you should be a completely different person. Like, I don't like it when they do that. Like Kevin Owens has never changed his theme, and that guy has flipped heel and face plenty of times, but because he's still Kevin Owens every time he does, he doesn't need new music.
Here's the problem.
Because he's an asshole.
Because Kevin Music's theme works as a heel and a face, right? So, right, you're like, yeah, I'm gonna rock out to this, or like, F this dude, man, I wish this tune would change, right? But like, you know, when you hear the Street Profits, everyone wants to, you're not gonna sit there and boo that. You're gonna start shaking on your seat.
I'm always all about the boom, but if Adam Cole is a heel and gives a promo, I boo him. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. I think fans are allowed to be excited. But okay. if they put forward a good heel theme today, I wouldn't be mad. You know what I mean?
Maybe I'm just old school and stuck in my ways. I mean, I am turning the big 4-3 this Sunday, so you know.
This Sunday?
This Sunday, my friends.
Dang, I didn't know that.
Yeah, I'm old and I'm stuck in my ways.
Pre-happy birthday.
Fightful Cold War Blue Tree. Not me.
Guys, get in your super chats. Let's dive into some in-ring action finally. We talked about a lot of the talking, but let's dive into more. We got that great Street Profits match. I'm excited about what's to come there. We also did get your favorites. We got DIY backstage with Motor City Machine Guns.
I had to mute myself there. Hold on. Sorry, everyone.
But Pretty Deadly get met by DIY, who are like, no, we should have each other's backs. And then Pretty Deadly are like, no, boy, no, we're not going to fall for that again. This, you scratch my back, I scratch yours. I like this from Gargano because he says, like, I don't want you to lose in your hometown like I lost in my hometown kind of thing. That's happened to me before. Some good stuff there. But the Motor City Machine Guns are confront DIY rather, and they say, hey, welcome to the back of the line. We still got business to attend to. So
where they belong, by the way. These young whippersnapping.
Aggressive.
Oh my goodness.
Any thoughts on that? I just feel like we've seen
it to you, Kate. To the back of the line, you Motor City Ford Chevys. You go back there to the assembly line and build me some cars.
Like,
I don't know. Every time I think
these guys face each other so many times. We saw a 2 out of 3 falls match with these guys already. Like, enough.
Can I tell you something
with the creeds?
Like, if this was old school WWF. And I was
God, you're so old, Alex. Right?
I would 100% make the Motor City Machine Guns. You know, they used to be so gimmicky back in the day. I would make them like car salesmen or like assembly line workers who just became wrestlers, and they would come out with the getup. Oh, that'd be so much fun. They would face the Repo Man. Like,
that's all the time we have for Alex today. We're not talking about the Repo Man. We're talking about SmackDown today.
I'm sorry. It's just like when you talk to me about Motor City Machine Guns, it just gets me to a place. I start listening to the voices in my head. I want to start punting.
Listen, if you're going to punt the Motor City Machine Guns,
I hope they never get a whiff of this and be like, who is this dude talking about us all the time?
Oh,
like,
I'm sure Sean's going to get some angry DM.
But and then all of a sudden I'm like at a show hanging out and
they're legends, Alex.
Yeah. I'm sorry. I'm still Googling them.
That's fair. My thing is like, how can we get to know the legends that they are if they only ever face DIY and then are also in contendership matches with the same three teams? Like, give them something real to do that doesn't involve facing DIY again. We're getting so many rematches.
Can I say something? You said this before, and I probably asked this before, so excuse me, everyone, for asking this question, but they were in TNA for a pretty long time, right?
They were. Sincerely, like, they were the heartbeat of TNA for a long time. They did work as singles and as a tag team together. Sure. They did some really fun work in New Japan. I saw them in a really fun triple threat with, at that time, Aussie Open, and nice. Who was it? Tana and Ishii, maybe?
So my thing is, like,
Tana and Okada. That's right.
Oh, okay. With the great, you know, this new adventure that they have with TNA right now, right? It would have been cool for them to lend them some type of footage, you know, like kind of use a lot of that to tell a lot more of the stories, right? Or kind of like tell more of who they are, especially like now when people like me, like there's a lot of people like me that sure. are like, cool, these guys are here. But like you just mentioned, we're still stuck with DIY. We haven't moved on. There's no stories being built around them. There's the aura of who they are. Like you look at Rey Fénix and what they did with what they're doing with Rey Fénix and what they did with Penta, like, you know, that was cool. You're telling these stories of who they are. With Motor City Machine Guns, it was just like the car running and then they were on SmackDown.
Yeah, that's, you know, that's a very fair point. And it's a criticism a lot of people make of AEW.
Yeah.
And with AEW, you usually mm-hmm. have a crowd that doesn't need it as much. Like when Speedball Bailey shows up, the crowd is chanting Speedball like immediately, right? Sure. In WWE, it is a little more casual of a crowd, so they might be less familiar with the Motor City Machine Guns. They're going to pop because something new and exciting is happening, sure. but they're not going to be as familiar. I'm with you on that.
And that intro.
Yeah, it's cool as hell.
I mean, like, yeah, man.
Like, it's easy to get in on that, but then when all they do is face DIY and float around in contendership matches, it's like their tag title reigns were so short, and then they sure. just haven't done anything but face DIY, so I'm with you on that, but the tag wrestling picture in WWE is tough still.
It is
the fact that the Creeds are floating around as goofballs drives me nuts every week because I know what Julius Creed can do in a ring because I saw it in NXT.
Sure.
But let's keep moving. Let's move back to some ladies talk because yeah. Will says Naomi and Jade look good tonight, respectfully. Yes, they did. And Naomi looks good as a heel, too. I got to say, like, this was so needed for her character because she was just a constant runner up. But we have Liv Morgan defeating Jade Cargill with the Oblivion. Jade Cargill has not lost literally in years. I don't think she ever lost not by disqualification. This is the first pinfall victory for someone. And Liv, I thought, was a really good dance partner for Jade. Sometimes, like, Jade is, she was injured and just coming back, so you don't always know what you're going to get with that situation. I think she looked really good here. And I think Liv knew how to make Jade look great with her selling and her size. And she knows that, like, Jade is going to be strong and probably a little bit slower, and that Liv's strengths are her speed.
Sure.
And kind of the mix of what she can do from an athletic standpoint. So I think this was an interesting call because Jade losing to Liv is not who I thought Jade's first pinfall would be too. Mm-hmm. But Liv winning with the Oblivion is good. And I also liked the promo that we got here with Liv before the match saying Jade knew who it was the whole time. And she could have gotten me off the hook whenever she wanted, but she didn't. Like, she let me take the blame this entire time with Raquel, and she knew who attacked her the whole time. So yeah, we do still have a score to settle. I thought that was nice justification for the match. And then after, we have Naomi coming out and attacking Jade, and she looked great, not only in the fact that she's a beautiful lady, but like, she gave that really intense promo mm-hmm. last week or the week before. And this week she followed up with the same intensity. Like, I liked this post-match beatdown. This was well done by her. So some really, really good stuff and an interesting call to have Jade lose to Liv. I don't know if I like it or hate it yet. I feel like we should be able to buy it because Liv is a multi-time champion, a multi-time tag champion. They keep telling us what a successful year she's had, even though Dominic Mysterio won half of her matches. She was still a champion, right? So it's not like Liv doesn't have the resume to be the first one to pin Jade. I just didn't think it was going to happen kind of like on a random SmackDown, but I'm not mad about it. I'm still kind of sitting with it. What did you think of this match and Naomi's post-match attack?
I'm okay with it. It furthers the character of Jade, right? We know that there's some holes in the game. Maybe she just needs to keep her eyes open on what's going on around her a little bit more, right? Like, is Naomi getting into her head, right? Like, there's games to be played here, and I think when you have someone with the strength and the stature and the goddess build of Jade, right? You kind of like, she's not going to lose. Why would she lose? But she did. So now she has something to be pissed off about, right? And she has something to like, she needs her receipt. She needs to get back in her game. And, you know, I like what they're doing with Jade. They're pairing her up with the right people, because even still now, I feel like she needs that. She needs that, though, these veterans and these people who've been in the, not that she's, you know, like Motor City Machine Guns. She's, you know, she's been in the ring. She's held titles elsewhere. She's done her thing. She's not a rookie, but it's good.
Like those NXT calls.
Like those NXT guys that just came up from NXT. But it's cool to see the evolution of Jade here in WWE and kind of see her try new things. I don't know how long it'll take for them to trust her to go on her own. But right now I'm enjoying what she's doing and this whole thing with Liv and whatnot. So it'll be fun. It'll be fun. I think Mania is going to be good for her, I think, this year.
Yeah, I think it'll be certainly a big test. I hope Liv is on the Mania card. I really do. She's beyond earned it. Sean made a good point on, was it the Hump on Wednesday? Probably. He was on the solo show and he said, unfortunately for Liv, like, her major passages of success always tend to come between WrestleManias. Like, it's always a little off kilter timing wise. So she doesn't always get like that big WrestleMania moment, as it were, but like, she's got a continuing really bright career ahead of her. We love that for her. If I remember Sean saying, I've mentioned this before, so sorry if it said nauseam to some of you, but we're on early tonight, so
how dare you repeat stuff.
We can chill. We're still gonna be done by well before when we would normally be going on. But Sean had said during the pandemic, he was asking around, he was trying to do a feature on like who the most improved wrestlers in wrestling were, that were taking this time of shutdown to really like zone in on their game. And he couldn't do the feature because everyone said Liv Morgan. Like, there, it would have just been a Liv Morgan feature, which is cool, but like, we could just sing her praises, but it wasn't going to be like, he was looking for five or six names or whatever kind of thing. And all of them said Liv Morgan. It was all Liv putting in all this work. So really, really good stuff. Really, really good stuff. But Will pointing out, Liv is beating Bianca, Jade, Naomi, and Io. That's a really good point. That's a really good point. I don't love the way that her title reign was booked, but like, if what they're telling me is what I'm supposed to take as true, right? Like, Liv is an incredibly successful champion. I don't like that it was so interference heavy, but I don't like title reigns like that. I don't like what Moxley's doing now. Mm-hmm. I didn't love the Judgment Day stuff. I got really sick of Roman's reign when that's all it was bloodline stuff. So that type of booking just isn't for me, but very happy for Liv Morgan. And I'm glad that they're like continuing this work with Raquel. So let's talk about that. We got Liv and Raquel. Oh, interviewed by Kathy Kelly. I mentioned this already, but she was going to get payback on Jade for never clearing their names. And she did. So some good stuff there. I'm so happy for Raquel because she was kind of floating around and then she had to take some time off to treat her. I think it's an autoimmune disorder that she has. And now she's back and she's on TV consistently and I'm really happy for her. I think it's a good role and I like her and Liv as a duo. Like, I don't think we've talked about that on this show so much because they're so frequently on Raw, but like, that duo works of like tiny big personality, kind of a shit stirrer with like, everybody gives her like the Kevin Nash comparison kind of thing, right? Yeah. Like cool, chill, laid back bruiser. I think it's a fun duo. Do you feel like that's a good place for the women's tag division to be in?
Yeah, I'm with it. You know, I do wish that we emphasized a little bit more on it. We kind of say this a lot about the women's tag division.
The contenderships are rough. Yeah.
But I mean, like, you know, fortunately, the people who have held it have done wonderful things trying to really elevate these titles.
Sure.
It's just everything else around it does not seem to kind of want to keep up with what the contenders are doing, or, you know, the people who hold it are doing, whether they're just not being listened to with their ideas. There's just so much that they can do, and sure, it always just falls flat, unfortunately. And it's nothing on the people who are holding it, by the way.
Yeah,
it's
the creative.
The creative, yeah.
Yeah, it's when they put them on Jade and Bianca, I thought for sure they would.
That's when I thought this is it. They're going to the moon with these with the titles, but.
And they didn't. They went to Scotland and had them lose to the spooky Scottish witches, who were never heard from again, unfortunately. But
made me cry.
You know what? If I was to lay odds on who they'd be facing at WrestleMania, I wouldn't even know right now. Mm. I wouldn't. Mm. It would be tough, but I could find out. I could find out what those odds are. I could subscribe to Fightful Select for lock picks, and I could learn all about it. And hey, if there's other betting odds that I might want to take to throw a couple bucks down on, I know exactly where I would go to do that. That's to our friends at Bet Online.
I want to talk to you guys about our great partner at Bet Online AG. Yes, the place that lets you bet on pro wrestling. We've gotten our pro wrestling betting odds from them for years, well before we even worked with them. And we're going to tell you a little bit more about them. They got the earliest lines, the fastest payout, the industry best bonuses. They've been trusted for 25 plus years because of their safe and secure environment and their quick payouts. But you can bet on pro wrestling. How cool is that? If you think you know more than anybody, go ahead and look at those odds. It's the same ones you've seen on Fightful for years. You might see one that sticks out to you and you go, wait a second. There's no way that person's going to win. Why are they an underdog? Make yourself some money. Bet Online AG. And hey, it doesn't stop there. Whatever sports you want, they got you covered. Popular games like blackjack and roulette, Supernova, Skyward, all that stuff. BetOnline AG. Please bet responsibly and only bet what you can at BetOnline AG.
BetOnline AG, my friends. Head on over there. Look at all those nerdy games you can bet on, Alex.
Wow, I can't believe that, like, you single me out like that, but I'm okay with that because I am a nerd and I will put my money.
You were telling us all about your X-Men figures, but we got SP3 in the chat saying, damn, I missed y'all talking about the awful Charlotte and Tiffy segment, but I was happy to see Kate and Alex the show at a decent time. You two are awesome. Thank you, SP3. SP3's not
word.
Only the substitute teacher of Fightful, but he's
thank you.
Like, I'm so impressed by SP3 in that he covers so many wrestling promotions all extremely well. And he always says yes when we need him to fill in for something. And right now he's in the UK and he's still doing it. So he's 5 hours ahead
all the time.
And he's still like, no problem. Post show at 3 a.m. Let's go. So very, very happy to have SP3. I miss our Thursday show together. I miss doing Ring of Honor, but we'll still have pay-per-views together. You can also catch him on In the Weeds 2 days a week, the days that Joel Pearl is not there. We got a 5-day-a-week situation going on Fightful Overbooked. So, best morning show in the biz. You hear me, LaGreca?
Wow.
You hear me?
You're really throwing that out there, huh?
I'm shooting on LaGreca.
Breaking news. Kate shoots on LaGreca.
And Nick Nemeth, who's on there sometimes. You want to go?
And on ESPN mornings. I mean, she's going all in from what I hear.
Let's go.
Wow. You're picking.
I love LaGreca.
early, he's a
really, really good dude.
Early Friday show, Kate is feisty.
I'm punchy, man.
I like that.
This feels like a morning show.
This does. Welcome everyone to the Wacky and Zany. No.
It is. I'm like, it's 9 p.m. and we're already talking about this. Let's go. I know.
Are we like, this is crazy.
It's wild. It's a wild one. But guys, get in those super chats. Place your bets at Bet Online during WrestleMania season when the time calls for it. Of course, other sports exist if you believe in such things as unscripted sports, but they do a great job over there. We always try to get you, when we can, underdog lock picks when they're available. So those get revealed on Fightful Select. But head over there. There's a lot of fun prop bets and stuff too. So check it out. But we're going to keep moving through this episode of SmackDown. Let's talk some U.S. title contendership. Let's talk Braun Strowman versus Jacob Fatu, because Braun Strowman wins via DQ. Fatu is not happy. He throws a bit of a temper tantrum backstage after Sokoa and Tonga interfere and say, stay out of my business when I'm trying to get myself some gold here. But these two have really good in-ring chemistry. It's fun to watch these big guys just like go at it. Mm-hmm. But when we talk about rematch central, this is what I'm talking about. I hope this is the end of it between these two. I'm worried it's not, because this was disqualification. So, all right. But we also get LA Knight chiming in a little bit later in this episode. He's so great, man. He's just like, everything he says is dripping in charisma. You can understand why he remains so over, but LA Knight does make the save after this DQ. So we'll see where this goes. I feel like Jacob Fatu is so incredibly skilled, and he's being presented in such a way that it demands he has gold at some point. I think this has to lead to him winning the U.S. title. Would be cool. If they don't have specific plans for him as far as the world title, like, don't have him go to the world title picture a bunch of times and lose. Like, he's one of those guys you want to win. So if a mid-card title is the way to go, that's cool. But he is way too much of a force to be reckoned with to be losing to Braun Strowman multiple times. No offense to Braun Strowman, but like, the stage of his career that he's in, he should not be consistently beating someone. This time there was an excuse, but I think they got to strap up Fatu sooner than later. Alex, what do you think?
Yeah, Fatu, the thing with him is that he's been consistently put on TV in very good spots.
Yes.
And they've also helped him out by kind of now separating him from this entire Bloodline fiasco, right? So that is the A-plus story there. Keeping him around all these like different people and matches that are happening around him and having interferences happen, all this stuff, that's the thing that declines the value for me, because he doesn't need that. I think that he can go out there and hold his own. We know this. I've watched him in MLW because he's not like Motor City. Like, I see what he can do. But
I love that Motor City machine guns.
I'm trying not to laugh. And as soon as I saw you smile, I'm like, damn it, like, I lost it. But yeah, so that's what I think. I would like him to be the one to take the U.S. title.
I think that would actually be a really nice transition, assuming they don't have plans in that world title picture for a little bit. Like, that would be good, because it does feel like you cannot present him in this way. And he knocks everything out of the park. He knocks all the in-ring out. Any style promo you give him, whether it's a backstage, whether it's in-ring, like, he's crushing it. So I think you don't want that to be diluted. And that would also give Solo Sikoa something to do. Like, he should be jealous that Jacob Fatu wins the title and upset by that. And that should be a fight that we get at some point. That could be a backlash thing.
You have like an LA Knight, and who is verbally so good on the mic as a babyface and a heel too, but right now he's doing his babyface deal. So you have someone like a Jacob Fatu who's sadistic, and what he says is taking time because he's telling you what he's going to do to you, right? So something like that, when he relays that message to you, like when he does his walkthrough out into the ring, and he's talking about like, listen up, sucker, I'm going to destroy you, and I'm going to use your hair as a mop. You know, like those... You like that, huh?
Hair as a mop is great.
So, you know, they clash very well in a good way, right? So verbally they can go after each other, and physically I think that would be a battle to see, man. But I think it's going to be like a giant fight for the title, right? A lot of people will be involved. And then you have Jacob Fatu kind of come up top, and why not? It did wonders for Kevin Owens. Did it not?
I agree.
Okay.
I'm in.
End the show right now. Stream on. WWE, call me.
That's it. Guys, get in your super chats. We are working our way through. Not a ton left to talk about. This was a very medium episode. Stay tuned. I don't know if we'll stay in this time slot because I think people don't know that we're on as much.
I think we made the decision to go on at 8 p.m. Like, you know, if we would have done it like last week, we were said, okay, we would have done a way better job of promoting.
I didn't
this
know if slot. We would like split the difference. You know what I mean? Like, I didn't. Yeah. Sean is going live right after, and I think people expect it then, or they expect it in the normal slot. I was like, well, people are still going to be seeking out SmackDown at this time. Even if they're just watching it, like maybe they'll want to hang out with us, but I think people are either watching it or are enjoying the Friday night.
You guys should do a watch, like, you know, all these people that do watch alongs, you guys need to do it, watch it and be on here with us watching this, especially for these early shows.
Oh yeah. People at home can. I'm way too much of a wrestling bitch face to do watch
along. Yeah. And let me tell you something. Let's be honest here. Like, you know, we're in a world where we have 15 screens in front of us at all times. Let's just be real. Especially this show's and we make up for the difference when the show, we do 52 weeks of SmackDown. You know, 47 of them we're going to be in our normal time slot. So this kind of just like even things out, you know, and you guys can join us early and you're done early so you can go do other things. You know,
we can go play outside.
You can go play outside, maybe collect some figures, you know, whatever you want to do.
Well, let's talk some more women's action. Man, I guess Zelina Vega is just meant to be put in matches where she gets built up to lose all the time. I don't get this. Piper Niven defeats Zelina Vega with a running crossbody. I get it that Piper Niven absolutely rules, and I get it that Zelina Vega hasn't done very much at SmackDown, but certainly feels like the plan was for Zelina Vega to beat Chelsea Green Stooges and to get a title shot. So I don't know what the heck this is, but Zelina Vega just loses to a running crossbody to Piper Niven. Piper looks great. Zelina plays the role that they gave her very well. It's just the role that she's been given. As person who gets built up to usually lose a title shot, but now lose a path to a title shot, like lose a way to contendership for a title is very odd to me. But I love Piper. I'm glad she got to look great in Europe because, you know, all those European country stars don't throw away. But comparatively. But I do feel like I don't understand what they were doing with Zelina. We get a little teaser for what I'm assuming is her husband coming in later. I think we're getting some cool, mysterious Aleister Black type return stuff. But as far as Zelina goes, what the heck are we doing?
Oh, boy. I'm going to get hate for this. But I did say this a while back. I did say that moving her over to SmackDown, like, you know, breaking apart the LWO. You saw a lot of the writing on the wall, too, when Electra Lopez got let go from, you know, Legado de Fantasma. There really isn't a place right now, unfortunately, where the women are being used correctly in factions, right? And then secondly, when they are removed from said faction, they're on their own. And if you're not a high tier name, you're kind of left to do what Zelina Vega is doing. And none of this is on the person. So please don't take that into out of, you know, context. All this is based on what is given to the person. Right. And the only person that I've seen break out of that shell has been Chelsea Green, who has pitched her effing ass off to get herself out of the position where these unfortunate other ladies have been, and she is now the women's U.S. champion and blah, 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 and all this. But even Piper Niven herself, look where she's at. I would think that Piper Niven would be at an extremely high accelerated level. And, you know, Alba Fire is another one, right? So, like, you got, unfortunately, like, you look at the women in the roster, there's this clump of women that you see that are being held at high regard that are in the title, main title picture.
Sure.
You got the middle women, and then you have, you know, everything else, unfortunately, underneath. And I feel sad because Zelina Vega is a dope ass wrestler, man. And it's also, you know,
this is the mid card. That's what's sad about it.
Shit,
we had only Meechan challenge forever. And then
that's true.
Now we're trying to build up a contender and she loses to Piper Niven. I don't get it. I don't get it at all. Like, they're in desperate need of challengers to get wins to look good, and they booked her to lose. Actually kind of blows my mind, but we will see. We will see where they go. That made the least sense, I think, of anything on the show to me. But let's throw it over to Damian Priest and Jimmy Uso defeating Drew McIntyre and Shinsuke. They are trying, the performers are trying so hard, man.
Yeah.
They're trying. Damian Priest and Drew McIntyre are trying really hard to put some heat on this, and I appreciate that. But this ends with South of Heaven from Priest onto Nakamura, who takes the pin. Great follow-up booking for your previous U.S. title champion. But McIntyre attacks Priest after the match, hitting him with a claymore, and then later is talking to Kathy Kelly. It says he's going to become the first two-time British world champion in WWE history. I like that Drew McIntyre is always focused on gold, even when his story isn't. Like, obviously, he's got this score to settle with Damian Priest, but he wants to settle it so he can work his way back to the title. Like, I like that about him a lot. I don't know. The promos between them have been decent, but the supportive creative hasn't been the best. But this was good. This gets a lot of talent on the card. It was a fun tag match. Drew continues to be super impressive. And one thing I like with this is that Damian Priest is also a big dude. Like, sometimes the physicality of how large of a guy Damian Priest is gets a little lost, but Drew always kind of tells the same story, because why wouldn't you, of who he is as a wrestler? Because when you're a foot taller than your opponent and you can claymore the crap out of someone, that's really fun. But with Damian Priest, it's a little bit different of a physical challenge, and I really enjoyed that aspect of this feud. What did you think of the tag match that we got here as we wrap up?
I feel like Drew, like, if this is going to be where we're going with Drew and Damian Priest, right? Let's just have at it, right? Let's put them together. Just book it. Just say this is what we're doing, because these two, the minute that, you know, Damian arrived here, just say it. I didn't like him. You know, like, you came in here like your S doesn't stink because you were a world champion over there. You know, like,
sure,
who cares? What else have you done? Right? Like, and we all know that Drew's very petty. So bring that out. Like, we saw Drew's best work last year when he was on Twitter talking crap, when he was just being at his full pettiness with a bracelet. Right. So, like,
I do like that Damian and LA Knight kept the, like, he's a crybaby narrative.
Yes,
going.
Yes. That's what I mean.
What I don't
right.
love is, like, he's been fixated on the bloodline and everybody that befriends the bloodline, and Damian Priest has had nothing to do with the bloodline. So it feels like they haven't transitioned that story. And I think that's where some of the heat is getting lost for me.
Yeah. Like, yeah. But I think they're trying to erase that somehow. I think they're just by moving the stories along with what the new stuff that he's doing.
I mean, stuff has to end at some point, right? Like, that makes sense. And I really like, I don't like revolving door promos, but the last one we got that these two guys were in, I loved what Damian Priest was saying about her. Like, they've been doing a good job taking their shots when they can. I just hope that the next month they get a little more assistance and heating this up on the way to WrestleMania. But that's all we've got today. Thank you so much to those of you who joined at this weird little time slot. We'll see what next week brings, but we'll definitely promote it a little bit stronger so you guys know when we're on. But thanks for piling in here. Of course, at the end is when people are starting to join. You know what? Because of that, let's talk a little bit WrestleMania. You seem most into this Roman, Punk and Seth storyline. What do you think the favor is going to be? Who do you think wins that match? And who do you think Paul Heyman chooses in this love triangle?
God, that's going to be so hard.
I know. Especially because we're a month away. This is early predictions, people.
I just want to say that I do believe that it's going to come down to something that happens between Punk and Roman. I just don't, you know, having Seth in there is great because he has history with both, obviously. Mm-hmm. There's hatred with CM Punk. There's the brotherhood he held with Roman, right? So there's a lot there. But I do feel that it's going to come down ultimately to something happening between those two, between CM Punk and Roman.
Yeah. And I think with Heyman in the mix, it feels that way for sure, especially.
Yeah. And, you know, I would have to believe that something big has to happen for CM Punk, for you to feel something for CM Punk, or for CM Punk to finally change his tune and say, F you and F all of this that's happening and kind of go heel, because we need that CM Punk, right? So I do think that everyone loving Roman the way they are right now, which is because he's getting this mega pop every time he comes on television. I think that's my final say would be that Roman, you know, the tribal chief gets his love from his what's his name? From Paul Heyman.
Mm-hmm.
Paul Heyman shows his card and says, hey, this is who I'm going with, right?
Sure.
I understand that there's love there, but you left the company and you decided to go do your own thing. A deal's a deal. We did what we had to do last year for Survivor Series and blah, 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 blah. We're done, you know? And I don't know where that goes from there, but I feel like ultimately that's the big storyline between those two. Seth kind of just being added as a disturbance to kind of like not make things feel like you know what's going to happen, right? So you want that. He's there to stir the pot between those two.
I saw a fun conspiracy theory. I don't know if this would sustain long term.
So I'm a conspiracy theorist, yes.
But the idea that Paul Heyman would leave with Seth Rollins, I thought was actually
a really
interesting idea.
Wow.
That'd be really fun, right? Like everybody is, who's Heyman going to pick? Who's Heyman going to pick? And he goes to Seth Rollins. You could do a whole, I made them the two most successful champions in the company. We forgot about that other guy. Don't worry about him. But you were at your most successful when you had the authority in your corner. I could be that for you. Like, I think there could be something really, really fun.
I would have liked that. I would have liked that except for the fact, you know, that Heyman has never really shown that side of him. Heyman has had a love relationship with everyone, right? If he turns their back on someone, which he hasn't really done when you think about it, right? It would be tough for me to kind of like follow that and kind of be like, okay, yeah, that sounds like something he would do because he's never really
turned his back on anyone. There would have to be a justification for it for sure.
Yeah.
I don't know what they could
like Curtis Axel or something, you know? Like, I don't know. He comes back, you know, he's a Heyman guy.
I feel like Punk probably stays face because I think they want to do Punk Cena while Cena presumably wins this title as a heel.
Really?
I think there's a very high possibility that's a SummerSlam main event. So we'll see. But I'm intrigued by this. I think there's a lot of directions it could go to, but that's enough stalling. We'll get out of here.
Can I ask you a question though, before we get out of here? Do you think, and let's end it on like, let's not even go crazy. This could be a yes or no answer. Do you see Punk at all at 50 years old? He's going to be 50 at all being either a WWE champion or world champion.
Yes. I don't think it'll be a super long reign, but I think for sure he'll have some sort of transitional reign or something. Like I think they'll do that moment. I think they should do it with a heel turn because Punk is a better bad guy than he is a good guy. He's the best bad guy. And I am of the belief, this is a me thing, this is a mea culpa. I think CM Punk should have a stable. I think he should be leading a stable. I think it is silly that he has not led a stable. I think it makes so much sense, especially since he in real life seems really passionate about helping younger talent, like, be brought up here. I really, really think stable leader CM Punk with, and also, like, they don't want him wrestling frequently. They've made that clear. He hasn't wrestled frequently. He's injury prone. Great way to do that. Have them fight your stooges. Heel CM Punk with a title with stooges. The way to go.
Fine, fine. Real quick, and I'm done. Stooges, Ricky Starks. What's the guy with the beard that just came from AEW as well?
Lexus King.
Lexus King. Who else? Who's the other guy that came with the glasses?
Ethan Page.
Ethan Page. There you go. I want him to be with all the AEW guys. I want this to be a parody, and I want it to just run. Like, wait a second. These are all the AEW guys that they're together now. And then Cody joins and they're friends. Like,
here's
it'll be
the
cool.
Why not? Ethan Page could be his own mouthpiece of a stick. He's too damn good to be like in the background of something. I wouldn't do that. And Lexus King, I just don't know if his what his ceiling is so far. So we'll see. But I like the idea of Ricky pairing up with him. That's not a bad call. That's not a bad call, but guys, we are going to head out. Thank you so much for joining us at this odd time slot. We're going to get started on our weekend early here. Just a reminder, Collision, no post-show this weekend, except maybe if I jump on Sunday night. We'll see how I'm feeling. But they are starting at an estimated 11 o'clock with 1 hour episodes both tomorrow and Sunday. And then we're right back in it on Monday, still on this European tour. So you can catch Sean Rossap live with your WWE Raw post show at like 5:30-ish or whatever. He'll be live right after. So go ahead, check that out. We thank you so much for joining us. Please do leave a thumbs up on this video. Please do subscribe on your way out. But Cardoza, where can people find you?
You can simply go to alexiscardoza.com and find all my links in there. And if you would like to own your own Only Collabs or Collab Oil shirt, I had to do the Golda. head over to onlyclavs.com where someone asked me, you know, it would be good if you had help about me in there because I was afraid to click the link and where it was going to take me. So that popped me and made me happy. So head over to onlyclavs.com and support this old veteran. And my birthday's this Sunday, so I'll be I'll take a drink of water for everyone. I don't really drink, so.
There you go. Cheers with water in your shot glasses. Happy early birthday to you, Mr. Cardoza. We appreciate you being around here, joining me every Friday night. You can catch me at Miss Kate Fabe on social media. Also, let us know what you're thinking. We're going to be doing some fun stuff on Fightful social media as well. Head over to our Instagram. We're going to try and differentiate those experiences a little bit more than we have been. So head over there. Follow us on Instagram. Our John Moxley post blew up a little bit because he had those nails in his back and people were like, oh my God, I don't want to see it, but I have to see it. It was one of those. So that one blew up for us, but do follow us on Instagram, please. We very much appreciate the support, but have a safe and wonderful wrestling weekend. If you're catching up late, we hope you enjoyed SmackDown. Enjoy this weekend. If you're watching some college hoops and some wrestling after, we'll see you next week.
Breaking news coming in from Bet365, and it's no surprise. Same game parlay from Bet365 just keeps getting better.
Well, it's even easier to make a bet. Choose from the most popular markets, like hits, run line, totals, and home runs. So many to choose from.
Download the app, start building your bet, and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
If your job at a healthcare facility includes disinfecting against viruses, you know prevention is the best medicine. And maintaining healthy spaces starts with a healthy cleaning routine. Grainger's world-class supply chain helps ensure you have the quality products you need when you need them. From disinfectants and cleaning supplies to personal protective equipment, so you can help deliver a clean bill of health. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.